A good Friday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. We are live in Bethesda from Caddies on Cordell, where we are getting ready. This is the first time I'll say this today. I will say it many times, because frankly, the more times I say it, I might start believing it. We're getting ready for the NFC Championship game. The Washington Commanders are 60 minutes away. I'm going to try not to laugh when I say this. From playing in the Super Bowl in 2025, the year of our Lord. Eric Bickle of the Sports Junkies is swinging through here in just a few minutes. We will have Jay Gruden on the show today at 5 o'clock. How do you stop Jalen Carter? How do you slow down Saquon Barkley? We've asked him to crunch the film, go through the numbers. He will put together a game plan for us at 5. I am flanked today, not by Danny Ruye, who, in show fashion, as was always going to have to be the case, with the Commanders playing the biggest game they played in 33 years, is not here today, unfortunately. I know. He is healthy. He is unavailable. We push on without Danny, but that is very on brand. If you know the program, you know that Danny misses the biggest shows that we do. And today certainly qualifies. But we are flanked by Toby Altizer, who is filling in representing the youngest generation of Commanders fans. I consider myself as a mid-30s guy who's not old enough to have remembered the original Super Bowls. You know, the millennial Commanders fan, if you will, that's like, yeah, if you guys say they won the Super Bowls, I believe you. I've seen the footage.
Yeah.
Your earliest memories, this is even worse. Guys like Patrick Ramsey, Mark Brunell, right? That's like your wheelhouse.
I had a cat named Ramsey. That was my favorite player growing up. Shows you how much I knew about football when I was growing up. But, yeah, I didn't remember 2005 and the playoff victory. So this playoff run is new to me. This playoff run, winning football games, going further in the playoffs, playing for a potential Super Bowl, it's never happened in my lifetime. So this is all new, and Grant, it is fun. The fact that we're still talking about this football team, not in retrospect, not talking about the season that was special, because that's going to be a lot of fun too, but the fact that we're still talking about a matchup this weekend in Philadelphia, 60 minutes from going to a Super Bowl, with a legitimate shot, by the way, of winning that game, it's something totally new.
Well, look, they may or may not win. They're playing a fairly superior opponent based on the regular season, but they are playing a team they have already beaten this year. They are playing a team that the last time they went to their building, and I was there at Lincoln Financial Field, they led going into the fourth quarter. They had a chance, if they kick a field goal in the middle of the fourth quarter, from going up over Philadelphia in that game. So the idea that they cannot win, that the Eagles are too good, that this is some lopsided matchup, I do not subscribe to. The Commanders scored 36 points. Jaden Daniels had a career-high 5 passing touchdowns against the vaunted number one defense in the NFL about a month ago. I'm not scared of the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, are they good? Sure they are. So were the Lions.
Exactly.
How'd that work out? In fact, I would say that going to Detroit in the loudest environment they've played in all year on the road, with 2 weeks to prepare for the Lions coaching staff, with not only a rested roster, but that Lions offense and all the weapons that they had to go against Washington's mediocre defense, was a worse matchup on paper. Paper has meant nothing. Crumble it up, toss it out. They weren't as good as the Bucs. Tampa Bay's golfing right now. They weren't as good as the Lions. Ben Johnson's now the coach of the Bears, and Aaron Glenn's now the coach of the Jets. Let's take our chances against Philadelphia, and we'll see where the chips fall. Because the fact has been all year long, Jaden Daniels, every time expectations are put in front of him, surpasses them.
Yeah, I mean, that's the great equalizer, right? You look on paper, these rosters that they played week after week are better. But Washington has a better quarterback. That's the great equalizer in this sport. When you've got the guy that can go out there and make plays, and we're going to talk with EB in a little bit, I thought he was kind of ahead of this. Let Jaden cook, right? I think that second Philadelphia game really showed me something, where you knew this was the guy, right? You knew this was going to be your franchise quarterback. But the second half of that Philadelphia game that they won in Washington was when you said, oh, he's one of those guys. He's one of those dudes you can put everything on his back and he can go win you the football game. He's the one like a Pat Mahomes, a Josh Allen, a Lamar Jackson, those guys that can win games for you. I hadn't seen that to that point. Now you're seeing it not only in a couple of regular season games to clinch a playoff spot, now you're seeing it in the playoffs too. He's special. And when you go into Philadelphia, while your team might not be better overall, your quarterback is, and you feel like you got a shot.
Yeah, to me, I think this is what's so amazing. I saw something on TV last night about how Daniels is about to be the sixth rookie quarterback to ever start in a conference championship game. And that number's correct, except those other guys weren't in the same situation as him. We're talking about, like, Mark Sanchez, who was with a New York Jets team that was elite defensively and had the number one rushing offense in the NFL with Rex Ryan. We're talking about Joe Flacco when the Ravens were a run-the-ball, play-defense operation, and he just had to caretaker their way without turning the ball over. Those were don't-beat-us quarterbacks. Jaden Daniels is the drag-you-into-the-fight-with-me quarterback. He's your leading passer. He's your leading rusher. You're winning shootouts. It's a very, very different thing. We haven't seen anything quite like it. But there has never been a rookie quarterback who has played in a Super Bowl. No rookie has gotten through this level, and he can't do it by himself. It's not one against 53 of Philly, right? Cliff Kingsbury's had an unbelievable season. He needs help offensively. Deami Brown, who had never caught five balls, not one time, in four seasons in the NFL, has had back-to-back career days in the postseason. Terry McLaurin has been unbelievable during this stretch, even while not very utilized last week. I mean, it was a slow target game for him. The 58-yard screen touchdown that he had was significant. And this team has just made enough plays, even defensively, where we have knocked them more often than not this year because they're just not that good on that side of the ball. They're taking the ball away. They know they're not going to get stops all game long and force punts and keep teams from scoring. So why don't we generate a takeaway or two? Or against the Lions, five. They picked off the Lions four times. They are plus six in turnover margin. And if you want to know why Washington's playing and we're partying at Caddy's today, the biggest reason other than just Daniels' excellence this year and his poise is the plus six turnover margin through two playoff games on the road. That does not happen away from your place in those environments. Zero turnovers, six takeaways. That is unheard of.
Yeah, I mean, you look at teams that win in the playoffs. You're looking at Kansas City going for their third straight Super Bowl. What do they do in the playoffs? They don't make mistakes. They don't blink. Nothing is too big for them. You've seen in two playoff games now where Washington was the team that didn't blink. They didn't turn the ball over. You think back to Tampa. They only turned it over once. But think about some of the mental mistakes they had, some of the penalties. Graham Barton snapping the ball early. No one's ready on third down. That turns into a stop. That turns into a field goal, not a touchdown on that sort of drive. Washington hasn't blinked. They've come up big in all these spots. A plus six turnover margin. Now, I think it's interesting. You look at Philadelphia on the other side of this one. They also have a plus six turnover margin in the playoffs. So both of these teams have played relatively clean football to this point. I think that could be the deciding factor. We can break down, you know, the quarterback matchup, what they're going to do, whether they're going to blitz Jaden and all these things. With playoff football, with how both of these teams are playing, it might come down to who plays the cleaner game. And with how Washington's been playing, I have all the faith that they're going to go in there. The noise isn't going to bother them. Going to the link isn't going to bother them because Detroit's a raucous environment, right? Detroit is a hard place to play. They went in there and they were the team that didn't screw up. It's everyone too, by the way.
Well, they've also been to the link so recently,
exactly,
and experienced it so recently that my opinion in life is nerves come from a lack of confidence or just not knowing, right? When you've done something before enough, you're not as nervous. You're prepared. If I'm doing a show I've never done before in an environment I've never done, I'm like, okay, what's that like? I'm going to get there early. I'm going to go through the motions. If you're playing in the outfield in the big leagues and you've never been in a ballpark, you better walk your butt out there and play some balls off the wall and play some caroms and see what trouble areas there are reading the baseball in the sky. They just were at this stadium. They just played this game. There's just more eyeballs. It's time to do the Hoosiers bit where you take out the measuring tape and you go, it's the same game we just played, guys. You were up after three quarters. You had a fourth quarter lead if we kick a chip shot field goal. This is a game you can absolutely win. We should pass out some good news here right at the start of the show. Caddies in Bethesda will be here until 6:30, so if you're in the area, come on out. We'll be partying all day long ahead of the NFC Championship game. So the Raiders today hired Pete Carroll as their head coach. So apparently it's 2006 again. Having said that, okay, that's one less job now available and one of the better jobs that was left potentially based on their draft positioning and Tom Brady being involved for Cliff Kingsbury. The only two remaining head coaching jobs are New Orleans, dramatically over the cap, doesn't feel like a particularly good job.
He's not going there.
And Dallas, which would be a fine job except Jerry Jones is a maniac. Okay? Isn't it nice now to be able to look at other teams' owners and be like, what's that like to have a terrible owner?
Yeah.
Couldn't be me. I don't know what it's like to have a joke of an organization because your owner's a silly goose. Certainly not mine. But if you're Kingsbury, he's already said, I'm not interviewing with anyone until after the season ends. You get a win on Sunday. That's a few more weeks, by the way, because you got to ramp up for the Super Bowl. There may be no jobs left. They may luck box into another year of Cliff Kingsbury with Jaden Daniels, run this whole thing back in his sophomore season, which would be, I don't think I have to tell you guys, a really, really good thing.
Yeah, it'd be huge. I mean, Jaden has been spectacular as a rookie. You expect him to get better in his second year, but it's a little more difficult to do that when you're starting over, when you're having to learn a new offense. You're having to do these things again, and hopefully they have a contingency plan in place if something does happen. But I wanted to go back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier with Cliff Kingsbury. Ben Johnson's the one that screwed up at the end of that game with a play call, right? Like, everybody has been so good. Like, you saw Cliff Kingsbury. They haven't been able to run the football with their running backs at all in the second half of the year. They found a way against Detroit. They found a way. It was stealing stuff out of Josh Heupel's playbook in Tennessee and spreading the receivers all the way out to the sideline and different things. Cliff Kingsbury's been excellent in the playoffs, too. We're going to talk about the players and what they're doing, but I think it's also important, too, that these coaches have done a great job calling plays and making sure that they don't take their own players out of the game.
Yeah, starts with Dan Quinn, who deserves a ton of credit for not just building a phenomenal staff, which he did right away this year, but the culture began, it felt like, with him. And it was not like at any point Quinn or Peters, the GM, or anybody else in the building expected that they'd be playing right now. Because make no mistake about it, they did not think they would be playing in an NFC Championship game. But if you just do enough little things correct, you kind of figure it out as you go. I don't think they accounted for their quarterback becoming arguably the best quarterback in the NFC at this moment. I don't think they accounted for the fact that Daniels would be the best player in football in the playoffs, which is what he has been, certainly in the Detroit game, and was really good in Tampa as well, and that's how they're here. But you're right. They've called plays really well offensively with Kingsbury. Witt has done a very good job scheming things up to get some takeaways in the secondary, which we talked about. The praise goes all around the building. I mean, it's very easy for us to start and stop with Daniels because we've never seen anything quite like it, but there's a lot of pieces to this pie, to be clear. The other good news, as far as continuity moving forward, as we're keeping one eye on the future as well here at the beginning of this window, the Jets hired a GM today, and the rumor for about a week and a half was that they were going to be hiring Washington's assistant GM, Lance Newmark, who's Adam Peters' right-hand man, and they didn't hire Newmark. They have hired somebody else, so Newmark probably stays in the building as well. So some of what looked like it could be the first phase of, like, the, you know, taking your ice chisel to this operation. Because as you're good, everyone's going to want a piece. They're going to be grabbing a front office member, a coach. That may wait, it looks like, which is a really, really good thing for Washington as they get ready for the Eagles. Did you guys hear the comments this week of Jason Kelce, the former Eagle, who's a Hall of Famer to be, who's all over ESPN. By the way, does ESPN have a rule that they can't do a show without Jason Kelce? I mean, my God, I like the guy too. I'm all for fat guys with beards getting work. Like, I am a big fan of that. But, dude, this guy is everywhere.
Everywhere. Late night show now. Yeah, too much.
Did we need a late night show? It's like him and his wife and his kids hosting late night. Whatever. Good for him. I'm not going to knock it. But he says that the Eagles are better than the Commanders at every single position. Now, I actually think the Eagles might be better than Washington at almost every position.
Almost.
And to that I say, so what? Like, did the Lions get bonus points for that?
Exactly right.
They were better than the Commanders at a lot of positions, too. Cool. How did it work out? I would also say this. There's one little position.
Yes.
That you're forgetting. Are we sure, Jason Kelce, that you'd take Jalen Hurts over Jaden Daniels right now? Are we sure about that? Because I can promise you, I'm not trading Daniels for Hurts.
No chance. No chance.
It's not even close at this moment. Could Hurts outplay him this weekend? Sure, he's at home. Probably got a better supporting cast. But the idea of just brushing past quarterback to say that the Eagles are better at every position, well, they're better at a lot of positions. But I would take Washington's head coach over theirs, Dan Quinn, over Nick Sirianni. And you could say that's a wash, or based on Sirianni's win-loss record, you take him. Fine, no problem. You cannot debate with me that Daniels has been better than Jalen Hurts this year.
Exactly right.
The most important position.
And that's the thing. We can argue about this, A.J. Brown, Terry McLaurin. We can argue about the running backs, obviously. You can argue about all these things. I don't really care. It does not matter. When you have the better quarterback, you always have a shot. And so Detroit had a better team. I think Tampa had a better team overall. I think you could look through a lot of the teams in the NFL and say they had a better team overall. But also, Grant, just because you have the better team doesn't mean you're playing better. This team is playing at an unreal level. They have maxed out what they can do. I like what Dan Quinn said this week, where he said, we have found our identity, we haven't found the ceiling yet. I don't know what the ceiling is, and the crazy part is the ceiling might be a Super Bowl.
Do you agree with that, though? Because here's what I'll say. I don't know that they can play a better game than they played in Detroit. Now, I don't think they need to. I think if they play that game again, they beat Philly. I think if you play that game again, you beat Buffalo or Kansas City, probably. It would be really tight. But I think you could win the Super Bowl. I don't know that they have a better game than the Detroit game. I don't know that they got a club in the bag there.
Well, and they might not have one. Like you said, it's enough to win. But the thing is Philly playing at an unreal level? They might be more talented, but are they? Go back and watch the Packers game. Jalen Hurts is banged up going into this one, regardless of what they're going to say. He might be 80% healthy. He might be 90%. He's not 100%. And if you look at the numbers so far in the playoffs, Jaden has passed for 567 yards and 4 touchdowns. Compare that to 259 passing yards for Jalen Hurts in the playoffs. He's been better running the football. You know, Jaden's run for 87. Jalen Hurts has run for 106 and 1 touchdown. But if you take away the legs from Jalen Hurts, you scared of his arm? No, not at all. And the big thing here, too, is I think where you've seen Jaden grow in the playoffs, one sack. Jalen's taken 9. There's no one playing better in the playoffs right now than Jaden Daniels. And so regardless of what you think about the rosters, they've got the better quarterback here.
9 sacks by Hurts, by the way, in 2 playoff games is absurd. But it speaks to his lack of explosive mobility right now. He's not twitchy. Like, when you watch him in the pocket, his knee is banged up. In fact, he was asked today, I'm looking at the quote right in front of me here, at his press conference, on his knee, he said, it's progressing. That's all he would say. It's getting better. And then he was asked if he's going to wear a brace on Sunday, and he said he is. So he's wearing a brace, and it's improving. That's what we know about his knee. He could barely move. He took a safety because he couldn't get away from me last week. So I just don't trust that he's going to be running around making plays. And a pocket passing Hurts does not scare me. This was Kelsey, for those of you that haven't heard the comments. I do want to play them in full because I did think that he was actually gracious to the Commanders in saying he doesn't know that the Eagles will beat them. They're very, very tough to beat. They're really good. But he did suggest that at least in terms of personnel, the Eagles are better everywhere.
I have not expected the Commanders seem to be at this point all season long. I think that they have a tremendous quarterback who's played really well as a rookie. And their coaches have done a phenomenal job. I think as players, they have good players. I wouldn't say, like, I'll be very candid. I think the Eagles are better at every position. Like, I don't know that there is one position, if you put the two rosters, the depth charts next to each other, that I would take the Washington player over the Eagle player. And that is a very honest assessment. I think that the Eagles are loaded. In Washington, to their credit, they play extremely well as a team. Dan Quinn is a fantastic coach. They scheme things well. Dan has always schemed us well. Even in Dallas, I didn't think that Dallas was particularly that good on defense last year, and they played us really tough in Dallas. So they're well coached. They play as a unit. They make minimal mistakes. They go for it on fourth down and get it a lot, which increases drives and you know, their opportunities. So they do a lot of things really, really well, which is a big reason they're still here. And they just got done beating the best team in the NFC, arguably, over the last 2 seasons, pretty candidly in their house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think, you know, obviously Detroit had some mistakes that magnified that, but you know, there wasn't a lot of defense played on either side of the ball, but it's going to be a tough game. And, you know, Washington, when your quarterback is playing that well and you're that disciplined as a team, it's really hard to beat teams like that.
It is going to be a tough game for the Eagles, isn't it? Wouldn't want to be Philly. We are at Caddies on Cordell in Bethesda. We will be here until 6:30 today. Eric Bickle of the Junkies is going to swing by. We're getting ready for championship-level football. No Danny today. Toby alongside. Grant Paulson with you on The Fan. Back live in Bethesda at Caddy's on Cordell. We are getting ready for championship football. Grant and Danny on the fan. Danny couldn't make it today, but fear not. Toby Altizer's alongside. We got a great show planned for you today. Jay Gruden's going to be on the game plan with us at 5 o'clock. And ladies and gentlemen, making his way to the stage. You know him from his work on the Sports Junkies, where they have gotten to talk about exactly zero NFC Championship games in 30 years on the air. Eric Bickle.
Stop. Hey. How are you, buddy? Thanks for having me, Toby.
This is quite
great to have you.
A last several weeks, huh?
Yeah.
It's wild. It started to get, you know, real once they started, you know, after that losing streak. And you're like, when is this going to end? And you know what? I'm not sure it's going to. At some point, you have to accept that this is a good team. And we were in denial. Like, we knew they were pretty good because Jaden just instantly made them
viable. Yeah, they were 7-2.
He instantly made them viable. But, you know, we would take calls and we'd be like, you know, don't get ahead of your skis. This is a couple-year process. You know, they're going to win 8 or 9 games. Maybe they'll sneak into the playoffs. But let's not get crazy. I think it's time to get crazy. I mean, it's officially time to get crazy. I mean, here we are. And it dawned on me about 4 or 5 weeks ago. It's like, you know, once they won like 11, 12 games, I'm like, okay, it's different. It's a 17-game season now. But usually when you win 11 or 12 games, you're like a real contender. So at some point you have to accept this is a real contender. This is a really good football team. I was listening to your previous segment as I was trying to find parking. God, I lost my train of thought already. What were you saying in the previous segment about
They're good at football?
Yeah. No.
Jason Kelce saying they're better?
Oh, that's annoying too. Yeah, the player by player, the position by position stuff. Who cares?
Right.
That means nothing. We might not have the best team player for player, but we might have the best team. Like team. You know, so we don't – it's like it's a weird dichotomy.
Well,
we don't have the best
too.
Team, but we might have the best team.
You know this too. And every person in here, Rock and Burgundy and Gold, that has been around for enough years now, experienced this in 2019. Like having the most talent does not mean you're
doesn't
the best
mean anything,
team.
Really.
Right? And so I think about this a lot in sports. And the 2018 Caps were the first time I felt this. 19 with the Nationals. That 19 Nats team – Toby, you know this. That was probably like the fifth best Nats team of this era something like that.
Definitely.
They're the one with the banner.
Yeah.
Right? And you've seen it all year. We had Joe Gibbs on the show a couple days ago, and he talked about this. Like, his teams were, it was chemistry, it was continuity.
His 83 team was better than 82. Everybody knows that.
Right.
Everybody knows that.
Brotherhood bit, whatever this is, like, that is real. It's not tangible. It's not data that I can crunch. So, you know, it has always meant less to me. But it is a real thing, and this team absolutely has it.
And I think, too, when you have those sorts of things, players can tell if it's BS, right? Players can tell if it's not real, especially guys like Bobby Wagner coming in, Zach Ertz. They bought in right away. Mm-hmm. And so you get the young guys buying in as well. That's how you get to this point, is because maybe they're not the most talented team, but to your point, they play together as a unit better than maybe anybody else in the playoffs.
Yeah, and they not only buy in to what DQ's selling, they buy into Bobby. They buy into Zach. Like, they're real leaders. It's just you can't give Adam Peters enough credit for what he did putting this team together. And I'll be honest with you. With all of the everyone just hyping up these guys that they're brought in, I was like a little skeptical. I was like, okay, yeah, whatever. I've heard it before, right? And he's like passed every test with flying colors. Maybe you can, but you can't even really give him a hard time about the kicking situation because nobody could envision that. That's kind of like the only thing that kind of like backfired on him. But they've still kind of settled themselves. People may not love Zane Gonzalez, but after 4 or 5 kickers, they've got a guy that pretty much makes his kicks. So he's just been brilliant. And I'll be honest with you, even when they brought in Josh, you know, obviously anything's better than Dan, but I still was like, oh, let's see. But man, you bring in a guy like Magic. You bring people, I think they don't, like, he wins at everything he does.
Yeah.
Everything he touches, he wins. And they just got the right guys in place. And it's really just been magical. And kind of getting back to my original point, I'm sorry if I'm talking too much. But it dawned on me a few weeks ago that this team is a good team that can do it, that 11 and 12 win teams that keep winning, certainly they can hoist a trophy. And you know what? Jaden Daniels is worthy of it. He's worthy of, if they pull this off, and he's holding that trophy, you're not going to go back in 20 years and go, oh, remember when Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl?
Right.
Like, you're not going to do that.
So I keep calling this the magical carpet ride, and I do think that's to some extent what's happening. But that can be true, and to your point, they're actually just really good.
They're just good. They're like, better than we thought.
And think about what they will have done if they get to a Super Bowl. They will have beaten the top three seeds in the conference on their way. Now, was Tampa Bay the third best team in the NFC this year? No, Minnesota was better. I mean, it worked out that the top three seeds, you know, you didn't have to necessarily play the top three teams. But you will have gone to the three-seed Tampa, a very good team in one. You will have beaten the one seed, who was the juggernaut in the Lions, and won in their place with an extra week to prepare. And now you're at the number two seed. Just look at the records of Detroit. What did they lose? Two games all year?
Two games, yeah.
Yeah? And the Eagles, I think, lost three games all year?
Mm-hmm.
The two juggernauts, plus the Bucks. The Chiefs are in the AFC Championship game. The only thing they've had to do so far, to their credit, they earned it in the regular season, is beat a bad Texans team. Mm-hmm. And they get to play in a conference title. Mm-hmm. Washington's had to go on the road twice to the three seed and the one seed. This will be as arduous a path as anybody's walked.
Yeah. They're certainly worthy. And the early narrative was, oh, they're 7-2 or whatever, but they haven't beaten anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
early
that's completely
I mean, people
exploded.
Were saying that before their first playoff
no,
game.
No, last week we had John Jansen on from Detroit. He said the same thing. He's like, well, you look, they beat Buccaneers, whatever. They beat, you know, the Eagles when Jalen hurt. He dismissed it, too, before the Detroit game.
But remember, in the regular season, the only win against an over 500 team they had was the Eagles at home.
Yeah.
And that was, they were down 21-7 when Jalen got hurt. So I think people looked at that and said, this team, like you said, their record is that normally means you're really good, but I don't know. I think they've proven they played who they played.
Mm-hmm,
they can't play anybody that's not on their schedule, but when they play really good teams, they get up. And to some extent, when they played that bad teams, the Saints, the Cowboys, they played down some. But when they're playing the good teams, they keep getting up.
I think there's something, too. Down the final stretch of the season, they were just finding ways to win football games. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't beautiful all the time. You think back to the Atlanta game. You were at the New Orleans game. They won those games. They weren't sexy. Think about earlier in the season with going to Baltimore. Think about facing Pittsburgh. They were right there, but they didn't have the winning formula. They couldn't get it done at the end. And now what you saw when you get to the end of the season, maybe they're not the same high-caliber teams, but they found ways to win. You get to the playoffs, you just squeak by against Tampa. You play really well against Detroit. They screw up. You don't. You win that ball game. If they do that again in Philadelphia, you feel like you got
a shot
there,
it doesn't matter. You don't need style points, although that game last week had a ton of style to it. That's the one thing that concerns me a little bit, and I kind of heard you alluding to it, is it's hard to back up. What did they score, 45? Whatever the hell they scored.
45.
It's hard to back that up. You know what I mean? Like, with another 45 burger. Like, so that scares me a little bit. And, you know, all season I've been dismissing this defense. At some point, you just got to stop doing it. And, I mean, I've largely backed off. And one thing I think is sort of underappreciated is their adjustments. They make great adjustments because they oftentimes don't get off to great starts.
Yeah.
Certainly defensively. Like, how many times have you been watching a game this year and you go, oh, Lord. There goes whatever, Jahmyr Gibbs, or there goes somebody for – that's what I thought it was going to be. Or Jason was hyping up this friggin' running back all week, and here he goes. And yet, we don't really have a lot of dominance on defense by any stretch, but they do find a way to – whatever they're doing, I'm not sophisticated enough to know, but they make just enough adjustments, they make just enough stops. Lately, they've been getting the turnovers that it's just like, wow. You know, we always talked about Gibbs's adjustments – we got to start talking about this team's adjustments because I think they really make great adjustments.
Yeah, they have all year long. Eric Bickle's with us, Toby Altizer, Grant Paulson on Grant and Danny today on The Fan. We're at Caddies on Cordell in Bethesda. I think this is an interesting thing to bring up with both of you guys because you're two different generations of the fan base, right? I want to talk about something I was
I still
asked.
Got it, Grant. I still got it, buddy.
I believe that you do, right?
No, I'm kidding.
I believe that you do, but you're old enough to remember the Super Bowls.
Hell yeah.
We are not. And Toby's younger than I am by about 10 years. So,
isn't that hard to believe?
It
Toby's
is.
You now.
I know, right? So, Washingtonian Magazine reached out to me, a bunch of people, and I was in this story today where they were asking about the name and kind of what this run has done for the name. It is my contention that with every win, it gets harder to ever change the name again.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it is
100%.
Right?
I said that a year ago. If they start winning, no one's going to care about the name. And believe me, we all agree, the name's awful, it's boring, it's terrible. No one likes it.
Right.
It's terrible. But if you win, nobody cares.
But exactly. here is my point. I think there will always be fans, like me and like you, especially your generation, who have those Redskins memories that will hate this name. Like, we have a table of young kids here. Mm-hmm. They don't care that it's not named Redskins.
Yeah, they don't care.
They're wearing their Commanders gear. I'll ask them, do you guys like the name Commanders? Is it pretty good? Right? So they're rocking Commanders gear. Like, Toby, I'm curious. I'll ask it this way. Is this run any tamped down in terms of your excitement because the name isn't Redskins? Like, does it change?
The only thing I can say, though, is I do cringe and die inside a little, like a 0.001% every time I say the word Commanders. I do.
Yeah.
In fact, I've made it sort of my personal mission because, you know, I think intent is everything, and I don't know a single person on the planet, we don't need to relitigate it, that ever said the word Redskin in a negative manner, or right. Like literally no one ever in the history of my lifetime. But that's okay. We lose that battle. But I'm going to call them the Skins till the day I die.
Yeah.
And so if you listen carefully, you'll see 90% of the time I say Skins.
Yeah.
And that's just my connection, and then no one can say anything about that.
Right.
That's my nickname for him, buddy.
Yeah.
And Commanders leaks out every once in a while, and I die a little, and then I say Skins right after.
Right. But your joy of this run doesn't get tamped down.
Other than when I say the word Commanders.
Right. And for you, I imagine you just don't care that much.
I'm numb to it. It's not that I love the name, but I'm used to it. You know, I don't have tons of Commanders gear, but I'm wearing a hoodie that's Commander.
No, you can wear it now. Look at this. I mean, this is unbelievable, yeah. And it's been like this for months now. Where, are bringing a gear.
For the sake of this exercise, so a lot of people here are in burgundy and gold. So I'm going to do a quick exercise. I'm going to ask you first if you're wearing Redskins gear to make noise, and then I'm going to ask if you're wearing Commanders gear to make noise. I just want to see what the difference is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're actually wearing Redskins gear, make noise. Okay. If you're wearing Commanders gear, let me hear you. It's kind of comparable, right?
Yeah,
like it's
pretty
all
close.
At least most of the Commander stuff. God, I just died another 100th. At least the W is like, I don't hate it.
It's subtle.
It at least it's not, you know, Commanders, you know, which is brutal. But the W is fine. It's fine. Washington's fine.
Hey, how about this? We can all agree on this. Washington's playing in the NFC Championship.
Yeah, they are, buddy. Yeah.
On Sunday. We're live at Caddy's on Cordell in Bethesda. You're listening to Grant and Danny. We got Jay Gruden today at 5, Trey Wingo at 3:30. This is The Fan. back live in Bethesda at Caddy's on Cordell. We're going to be here until 6:30 today. In fact, we do have some cool stuff to give away as well. We're going to do some trivia challenges during some of our breaks. I believe the grand finale will be giving away a little folding chair at 6 o'clock, but we got some Frisbees and some T-shirts and all kinds of things. So if you're in the area, come on out to our party. It is a lot of fun as we get ready for NFC Championship football on Grant and Danny today. Danny is out. It's a huge show. So you know that luck would strike. Danny would be unavailable. But Toby is on site with me, Toby Altizer. And we got Eric Bickle with us hanging out.
I mean, you're down the street. I might as well come hang out.
You got to come get yourself a cold beverage
and
enjoy a little football talk. By the way, how cool is this? We have the game on our air on
Sunday. I know, very cool.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, very cool. You can listen to the game, the NFC Championship game, Westwood One coverage on the fan. We've got pregame and postgame. So our coverage of a 3 o'clock game starts at 9 a.m.
Wow.
On Sunday.
We got it locked down.
We're rolling till midnight, by the way. Doc and I, 6:30 to 10, and then Earl Forsey, 10 to midnight. So we got you all night.
All day long. I bet you Earl's not signing off at midnight if they win either.
Yeah.
You've done that.
4 a.m. last week.
Yeah. So what time were you supposed to sign off?
10 o'clock.
And you just went six extra hours.
Or no, excuse me. I was till 2.
Okay.
But then we went to 4.
Yeah.
The phone lines, people still calling at 3:30.
If people are calling, we'll keep taking those calls. So we're doing it again on 106.7 The Fan. I want to play a clip for you guys. I want to get your thoughts on this.
All right.
The defensive coordinator, Joe Witt Jr., has taken a little heat for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll explain why in a second. But this was his comment on Jalen Hurts this week.
We've had a number of these guys that we've had to prepare for. And so the one thing is if he's going to run the ball and if the coordinator makes a decision for him to run the ball, we're going to treat him like a running back. And we're going to hit him that way. You know, so that's their decision if they want to get him hit the way that he gets hit. If they don't, they'll keep him in the pocket. So, but that's what we're going to do.
So, I do think there's some irony to that with Jaden Daniels running all over the place in your own organization where you go, if you're going to run, we're going to treat you like a running back. But that having been said, can we stop acting like he's pulling a Sean Payton?
Yes.
And talking about a bounty scandal? Here's what I heard. I heard, when you run, dude, you get hit. And if you're going to run like a running back, we're going to treat you like one. I had no problem with that comment. He's getting blasted all over the league this week.
Yeah, I said this after the first or the second Philly game where he got knocked out in the first quarter. I don't feel bad for you if you get hurt when the guy runs. That's what happens in football. Are we complaining because Marcus Mariota had to come in the Panthers game? No, it's because they won, right? It doesn't matter. If you run your quarterback, they get hit. Were we calling in nonstop about the Zion McCollum hit against Tampa? No. If your quarterback runs and they get hit and they get hurt, those are the consequences. I don't feel bad at all. And by the way, if your quarterback's going to run, if he's not going to get down and protect himself, hit him. It's still a physical game. What's wrong with being physical playing football?
It's not like he's saying they're going to be dirty and take shots. By the way, the Lions did that.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the dude's name, but Big 93 took that run at Jaden. That was pretty dirty, and Ertz went up.
I thought Dallas was pretty aggressive with him, too. Part of the reason why DQ took him out.
But you know what? You kind of should be.
Yes. Yeah, it's fine. Just keep it within the lines, you know. When I first heard it, I died a little inside because I'm like, well, let's not give him anything. But, I mean, I get it. I think Joe Witt is just he's one of these guys that's no nonsense. He doesn't even care what your interpretation of it is. He's just telling you like it is.
Right.
So,
He said the same thing about Baker last week. The exact same thing. He said, we're going to treat him like a running back if he runs.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Which is a coaching point, obviously. And again, I think is the correct coaching point.
You know, the other thing he said in that press conference, I mentioned it this morning, was, and I loved it, is that, well, I guess when he was in Green Bay, and I don't know if he was the DC there, if he was linebacker, I don't know what he was there, right? But he said they had a situation where they were playing a team for the third time. I think it was Minnesota. And he said,
NFC Championship game.
Yeah, and he said, we're not gonna go into this and just say, we know them. We know Jalen. He says, no. We're gonna dig deeper. We're gonna dig deeper. And that was our mantra then, and that's gonna be our mantra this week. Dig deeper. And I just love that. I don't feel like they don't take anything for granted.
Yeah.
And I'm just so impressed by him.
He was originally a quality control guy in Green Bay, and then the cornerbacks coach, the pass game coordinator, went to Cleveland, Atlanta. That's where he linked up with Quinn, and then the pass game coordinator and secondary with the Cowboys. Done a really good job with them as their D coordinator this year.
He's been really impressive, and he commands a room, too.
Totally. That's why he got a head coaching interview already.
Yeah.
He interviewed for the Jets job, and I didn't get it. But I will say Austin Eckler was on our show on Tuesday, and Eckler gave Kingsbury credit and really liked the idea that Kingsbury said, I'm not interviewing for any jobs until after the season's over.
That's big.
Now, it's different for everybody, and Joe Witt's never gotten a chance to get an interview, I don't think, let alone been a head coach, which Kingsbury has. But I did notice that Eckler praised Kingsbury and said he thinks that's the right way to do it. Obviously, Witt did do an interview, but I don't think it affected any kind of preparation or anything like that. But as far as their defense goes, they got to stop Saquon Barkley.
100%.
I don't know how you do that. They've done a pretty good job for the majority of two games. The second half in Landover most recently, where they held him to about 2 yards per carry. And then the first two and a half or so quarters in Philly, they did a really good job.
There's basically three carries that he killed us.
But this is what he does. That's like, when I a little bit of me dies when I hear people say, well, he's only had a few carries. That's his whole game. Mm-hmm. You're gonna tackle me 19 times for five or less, and I'm going to hit one for 74. He's a home run hitter.
He is, but I can remember in years past where he didn't hit those home runs. Now, this is a better football team, but we have done had games before against him. You just look at the record where he ran for 39 yards or whatever. It didn't really kill us. The thing is, if you can hold him 18 times, if you can just stay disciplined, it's hard. I don't know. Maybe just give him one home run. We can't give him two.
Yeah.
And again, I think, really the secret sauce these last few weeks has been the ball control, certainly. We got to keep scoring. That's how you can slow down Saquon. And we got to hold the ball for long, sustained drives if we can. You know, it's hard to, certainly guarantee that. But if we can do that, that's really your best defense, is not him not having the ball.
And, Toby, we've seen them beat the Eagles and almost beat the Eagles in two games when he went for 150 and two touchdowns this year. So there is something to be said. It sounds crazy. Even if he has a pretty big game, if Jalen Hurts isn't exceptional, you might still beat them.
Yeah, I think it's more so if he has that one quarter, that one big run, to your point, EB, you live with that because that's kind of baked into it. Saquon, he's one of the best backs, if not the best back in the league. You just can't let him go for 200. You can't let him go for 225, take over the game. And I think if you can keep him, but then also make sure that Jalen doesn't get running, because I'm not scared of Jalen's arm as much.
Yeah.
If you keep Saquon at least from going absolutely crazy.
Well, here's the thing.
Jalen contain two.
I think he can have 200 if it's 87 on one and three on all the other.
Yeah.
He can't get eight a pop.
Yes.
He can't do what Jahmyr Gibbs was doing to us, and they inexplicably gave up on. That's untenable. Can't win.
And they're not going to, but they will feed him.
Yeah. Oh, I
know.
Because everyone in the world knows that he's a moron for not doing it.
Right.
So they're gonna get all the Saquon Barkley we can eat. And hopefully we can stuff them.
Eric Bickle, Toby Altizer, Grant Paulson hanging out with you. We got Trey Wingo at 3:30 today, longtime NFL Live host. Jay Gruden swings by at 5. I want to talk about where Jaden Daniels ranks among quarterbacks right here, right now at the end of his rookie season. We'll get into that. Plus, let's touch the people, get some feedback from in the bar and see how folks are feeling going into the NFC Championship game. We're live in Bethesda at Caddy's. And we'll be here all day long on the Fan.